gather round. I'm glad everybody came out tonight. As we stand on our neighborhood corner, know that this fire that's burning represents the passion you have. Listen. I recognize all of you. Every creed and color. With that being said,
we had,
say what?
A whole lot of superstars on this stage here tonight. But I want y'all to know one thing.
I got 357 ways.
Now beat that.
Oh yeah!
Now what we want you all to do is sit back, y'all, and just relax, y'all.
Now, before I finish, let me just say, I did not come here to show out. Did not come here to impress you. Because to tell you the truth, when I leave here, I'm gone. And I don't care what you think about me. But just remember, when it hits the fan, brother, whether it's next year, 10 years, 20 years from now, you'll never be able to say that these brothers lied to you, Jack.
Okay, I'll reload it.
The sports bars to the stands, we are the voice of the fans. You are now plugged into your sports mixtape. This is the Section 357 show, where we always have the best seats in the house, and we are presenting to you the Ball Street Journal with your Ball Street Journal reporters, D, Ron, Trey, and myself, Floyd. Fellas, how you doing?
We're going to take a trip down memory lane here and just kind of introduce you to ourselves and our world, representing Atlanta, Chicago, Nashville slash Clarksville slash Memphis. The greatest moment of all sports lives here on the Section 357 show. Son D, Players Holiday, but filling in as always admirably out there on the left coast. It's my main man, LA Trey. Trey, what's going on, man?
What is going on, my brothers? After being part of our weekly, bi-weekly, all-monthly, all-yearly shindig of sports shenanigans and music. Let's get this thing started.
You can always follow the Section 357 show on Twitter at Section 357. You can also subscribe to and download the podcast via Podomatic, via Stitcher, via iTunes, as well as on our blog by doing a simple search for the Section 357 show. With that being said, let's get this thing started. The five best sports moments of our lives as it relates to where we grew up, our cities. As Big Shot Ron mentioned, Chicago, me here in ATL, and Trey representing the state of Tennessee. So Big Shot Ron, considering that Chicago has lots of titles, to be quite frankly, compared to Atlanta and to Tennessee, I would love to get your perspective on if you could find or isolate your top five moments, considering all of the championships that the city of Chicago has had in your lifetime, or I guess just in sporting history in general. So start with you, man. What are your five favorite moments?
My number five moment is 2005 World Series, Paul Konerko Grand Slam Game 1. Now, I'm not the biggest baseball fan, but I grew up with a family full of baseball fans. So the White Sox in the World Series, after not having been there since 1959, was a big moment for my aunts, my uncles, my grandfather. I'm sure he looked down on it. So Konerko's Grand Slam, Game 1, kind of set off that series. The White Sox went on to win it, you know, four-game sweep over the Astros. So that was my number five moment. My number four moment is going to be a lot lower than people think, and that's the 1985 Bears playoff run. Now, the 85 Bears are probably the most overloved team in the history of Chicago, and we can just debate this later. So I packed them a little further down. They were unmistakably cultural phenoms, football phenoms, so they couldn't be off the list. But a little bit lower on my list because of the after effects of the 85 Bears. My number three moment, 1997, the Jordan flu game. This was probably easily, if you had to list my five favorite Michael Jordan games, the flu game is easily in the top two. Just the heart, the courage, the passion. Why he had the flu is a debatable story, but that game is truly one of the seminal moments in Chicago history. Number two, some love for the NHL. Patrick Kane, 2010 Game 6, the Stanley Cup winning goal against the Philadelphia Flyers. Right there with Michael Jordan's shot in 1998. I know, obviously, hockey not as big, but Patrick Kane going 2010 to get the Blackhawks the Stanley Cup was as big a moment as Jordan's shot. And then my number one moment, fellas, the 1990-91 Chicago Bulls, my favorite sports team ever, any year, any sport. And that whole run, it's hard to call it a moment, but that was like one of the first teams where I really invested as a young fan, emotional, spiritual support for a team. So that whole run, the Pistons sweep in the Eastern Conference Finals in 1991, probably the best moment of that year, but that entire season was my favorite moment. So those are Chicago's top five in my eyes. Let's send it over to L.A. Trey. Now, he's in L.A., but he's a Tennessean to his heart. So we're going to let him have Memphis, Knoxville, Clarksville, Nashville, the whole shot. Trey, five best moments in the history of the state of Tennessee.
One of the things about being a Tennessee fan is that we didn't have a whole lot of professional teams outside of the Nashville Sounds semi-pro baseball team. The only thing that we could really cheer for were the Vols. So most of the people that I grew up with were huge Atlanta Hawks fans, Atlanta Braves fans, and Atlanta Falcons fans. It was the closest city to us, so we kind of stuck to them when it came to rooting for professional sports. But one thing for certain is that we loved our Vols. And back in 98, or even before 98, when Peyton Manning was running the show, we never got a chance to get a championship, and we had the golden child, per se. But in 98, without Manning, T. Martin took the team, and we won the national championship. So that's got to be like my number five moment. My number four moment is when the Tennessee Titans left Houston, left Houston as the Oilers, and became the Tennessee Titans. Fortunately for us, one of the main names that they were going to actually take before they were called the Titans was going to be the Tennessee Hound Dogs. Luckily, they didn't go that way, and we ended up having a cool team with a cool name. So 97 was the first year that we had a full-on professional sports franchise. So that was the year I kind of traded out my Atlanta Falcons hat and was like, all right, I got love for you guys, but now I got a home team that I can root for. Let's see, number four, speaking of Titans again, in 1999, we made our run for the Super Bowl. But before that happened, a little event called the Music City Miracle happened. We were playing the Buffalo Bills. Frank Wycheck throws a lateral pass to Kevin Dyson and returns it with 16 seconds left on the clock. It was crazy. It was bedlam. It was pure luck. We looked like a team of destiny. And as a result of that, we move on to what is possibly really my number one is us going to the Super Bowl. But before we go to the Super Bowl, I want to get my number two moment. One of the greatest players that Tennessee fans have ever loved on a professional level that we've embraced the most was Steve McNair. And when he passed, it kind of like hit us all because it was the first one of our great professional players that we've loved and adored to have lost. Other states have had greats that have come and gone through years of being a sports-related team. But for us, he was our first. He was our Babe Ruth. He was our Michael Jordan. And when he passed at such an early age, it really affected us in our professional sports community as a whole. And, of course, number one is my Titans going to the 99 Super Bowl against – I can't even say that name – against the Rams. And what makes this even more heartbreaking is that – Sundee one of the leaders of our show at Section 357 show. We were roommates at the time in college, and there was literally a line drawn in the sand, a dividing line in our apartment. It was beef. That's the best way that you can describe it. It was Biggie versus Tupac type beef. And I couldn't even come home that night because I knew what I was going to come home to. I had to literally sneak out of my door when we lost with one yard short to sending us into overtime and probably for the win because we had momentum on our side for Super Bowl 99. So those are my Tennessee top fives, my personal Tennessee top fives. Paul, what you got?
Down here in ATL, we've had a bit of an inconsistent sporting culture. None of our three teams have had extensively long periods of success, but they've had some moments. So my top five starts with the Atlanta Braves going worst to first in 1991. The Atlanta Braves in 1991 were the first of a long line of excellence, to be quite honest, as it relates to the Atlanta Braves. You had the young John Smoltz. You had the young Steve Avery, as well as the Tom Glavine on that team. Deion Sanders, punctuated by the Braves win, Braves win, Braves win call by Skip Carey. At number four, I went with a tie. I'm going to say the days that the Atlanta Falcons signed Deion Sanders as well as Mike Vick. To be quite honest, if anyone knows anything about Atlanta, it's a city that is somewhat fragmented racially, and there are very few things that can bring the city together like transcendent athletes. And the days that Mike Vick and Deion Sanders became Atlanta Falcons are days that everybody just knew that something great was about to happen. You had transcendent athletes. There was a buzz in the city, just electricity. That's all that I can really, you know, compare it to. There was just a buzz in the city with those two athletes when they were at their prime in Atlanta. My number three moment, going back to the Falcons, was when the Atlanta Falcons went to the NFC Championship in 1999. That was the emergence of the whole Dirty Bird era with Jamal Anderson, Chris Chandler, and those guys. And that was a team that doesn't often get talked about because they really weren't a favorite of a lot of people in the NFL, a lot of those so-called experts. Minnesota, the Vikings with a young Randy Moss, Chris Carter, like that was the team that everyone wanted to see win. I mean, let's just be honest. But the Atlanta Falcons on the road in Minnesota got it done and went to the Super Bowl. They didn't win it, obviously, but just that moment of sheer joy of watching Morton Anderson's field goal go through and having the Falcons on their way to the Super Bowl was just a phenomenal moment in Atlanta sports history. My number two was actually Atlanta winning the World Series, the Braves, that is, winning the World Series in 1995. I mentioned it earlier, the Braves had a run in the 90s that is almost unparalleled in this day of modern sports, and just had some great teams during the 90s. Finally got the World Series win in 1995 on a Dave Justice home run, and just a great time in the city, finally celebrating a champion. It had been so long, and we haven't had a champion really since then, so that kind of stands out in Atlanta sports history as that one championship moment in our recent past. And I would say that the most important moment in Atlanta sports history, despite all of what we know about our sports teams, the most important moment that really might have changed the course of Atlanta history, Atlanta music, Atlanta culture, Atlanta business, might have been the day that Atlanta was awarded the 1996 Olympics. Everything at that moment changed Atlanta forever. We look at the history of the city before and after that, that line of when the Olympics came to the city really stands out as a watershed moment for the city and really just catapulted Atlanta into that space of a thriving, emerging international city. So those are my top five moments in Atlanta sports history.
Ella, it's interesting, you know, Trey, small town, Tennessee, Floyd, Big City, Chicago, Big City, but there's a common theme. I think it's something we want to address as fans. What sticks with you more? Is it the moments of triumph or is it that moment of heartbreak? Because, I mean, I listed off some championship moments, but I could definitely say the heartbreak and disappointment can stick with you as much as the win. So is that just something about us as fans, Floyd and Trey, where you remember the big loss as opposed to the big win? Floyd, I'll start with you. Is that just nature of fandom that we just kind of almost live for the disappointment? Is that just part of being a fan that we just, we always kind of had that black cloud on us?
I think we live for the potential of the big win. And I believe that as fans, you know that at the end of the season, there really is only one team that's truly happy. You know that. That's what's established going into it. But I believe that knowing that you have a chance and getting to that moment of chance is what really elevates and makes sports such an important aspect of our society. Because when it comes to the Braves in 1991, they didn't win the World Series, but just that moment of having a chance to go, that's what really stands out. And at the end of every season, chances are you're going to be disappointed, to be quite honest. But in those moments where there's an opportunity for you to win, that's what connects sports fans, I believe, all across the world. It's just knowing that there's that chance to win.
I agree with you wholeheartedly on that. For me, sports has always been like a relationship. You know, you meet the cute girl that you've always wanted, and you stick with her, and you're with her through hard times and through bad times. You're upset when she disappoints. You're proud when she's successful. But at no time, if you're a true fan, you're not going to leave her. You know, but and to keep that analogy even more true, I'm an exception to the point because I had a main chicken in the Atlanta Falcons. They were my favorite team of all time when I was a little kid because I didn't know anybody else. It was a long-distance kind of relationship. Then when I met my new girl, the Tennessee Titans, you know, everything started off fresh and new. I was young and loved the honeymoon. And she surprised me and took me to the playoffs within the second year of our little relationship and showed me the Super Bowl like 3 years after that. I mean, and now it's like I'm with her through thick and thin. And I think that's what kind of like fandom is. Even when it's really bad, there's some people that are in a relationship with, like, you know, the Cleveland Browns, per se, or the Chicago Cubs. And their relationship is horrible, but there's love there, you know? There's a respect that the team has towards the fans and the fans has towards the team. And as long as you go out there and you try hard and you do what you can with what you have available, you know, you're going to be there through thick and thin. So my memories, as hard and painful as that Super Bowl loss was against the Rams, I'm so proud of my team for getting there, just like you said, Hall. And it's being a champion with your championship teams that matters, because when they win, it makes it feel like you win. They represent you, your city, everything that is about you. So everybody becomes a champion. Everybody's going to the playoffs. We all win and we all lose.
And Trey, I think that's the reason why the relationship between fans of teams and the folks who run those teams is always so contentious, because deep down inside, you feel like no matter how well-intentioned that GM is, that he or she will never love your team as much as you do, and that when they make decisions that you don't feel are in the best interest of your team, that creates problems because they look at it as a job. You look at it, as you mentioned, Trey, as a relationship, and those two things are not the same thing. So when you see the frustration that fans have with their owners or their GMs, the fans know that they'll be there a lot longer than the GM will be there, in many cases a lot longer than the owner will be there, and definitely a lot longer than the players will be there. So there's always that sense of conflict between the relationship and the folks who look at it as their job.
The other question that fails to go with this is, do you find it now it is harder to be a fan in this day and age than it was when you were a teenager? And I look at it from the aspect of this. Social media, the internet, just general growing up in life and having other interests. Do you feel like you've lost that love and passion for your team? Trey, you talked about it being a relationship with your Titans. Lloyd, your family has been Falcons season ticket holders pretty much as long as I've known you, and pretty sure going back before I knew you. With all the information, the technology, and the 24-hour news cycle, is it harder to just enjoy being a fan of your team and knowing too much? Like, I know for me, being a Bulls fan in the early 90s, when pre-internet, being a young, impressionable, you're emotionally invested in this team, and it's ride or die. I find myself now, yes, I still love the Bulls, but you know things about management. You know things that, well, this move isn't possible, or this isn't possible. Is it almost a trade that we know too much and it's taken away from our enjoyment, or do you still have the same love for your team that you had at 15, 16, 17, 18 years old?
Yeah, I do think it's a lot different, man. I want to go back to the relationship analogy. When you're a kid and you're young in love and you just know the girl and you go out on a couple of dates, you know, same thing if I just watching a couple of games and stuff and collect a couple of football or baseball cards to go along with your team, it's fun, you know. But now that we're adults and now we're in like the social media world where it's on the 24-hour news cycle, it's like you've grown up with this woman and she left her phone on the counter and it's unlocked. Now, you can choose to go through her phone and look at everything. You can look at her tweets. You can look at her pictures. You can look at the emails. And more than likely, if you dig, you're going to find some dirt. You're going to find something you don't like. You're also going to find some things you probably didn't know. Or you can just take the approach of like, you know what? I'm not going to go through her phone. I'm not going to listen to SportsCenter, watch ESPN, watch Fox Sports News, check Twitter. I'm going to just leave it alone and just love my team for who she is. And that's kind of like the choice of where we're at right now. But the thing is that us as fans, you know, like a jealous lover, you know, if that's a good analogy to put, you know, you're going to go through that phone if it's unlocked. You're going to see what she's tweeting or what picture she's got, what those emails are. And then more than likely, if you have that type of access, if you dig deep enough, you're going to find something you don't like. The days of skipping through the park hand in hand, you know, licking ice cream cones together when you were 13 in love with your team is a lot different than it is now when her phone is laying on the counter.
And Floyd, this is definitely a question I wanted to give to you because you are a ride or die Falcons fan. You ride with the Hawks. You're passionate about Atlanta, but it's kind of an inside between us and the fans. You are probably the biggest distributor of tough love on your team, of any of us on this show. Like, if you all could see some of the text conversations we have that involve Matt Ryan, Jeff T, Thomas Dimitroff, and anything Atlanta sports related. Floyd is our tough love guy. So, Floyd, 2014 Floyd versus 1994 Floyd. Easier to be a fan now that you do know what's behind the curtain? Or was it better when, as Trey talked about, when you're a little bit more impressionable and in love with that girl?
I think that's a really great question. I think that it was definitely easier to be a fan when I was younger because you didn't have the awareness of all of the things that go on in sports and the things that happen around the game. And a lot of that has to do with the business side of it. I think that as you get older and you're more aware of the business of sports, then it kind of mutes some of your overt passion because you understand a lot of the business decisions that go along with why teams do what they do. And to go back to Trey's analogy about a relationship, it's, you know, you love the girl, but then perhaps you don't like her family all that much. But you're stuck with her and her family. So it's how do you deal with, you know, your mother-in-law that you don't like, or her brother, or her sister, or cousins. And these are things that come along with her. So you love her, but you have to deal with the other parts of her family or her universe that are not, you know, your favorite things to have to really deal with. So I think that as I've gotten older and I've gotten more awareness of the business side of it, whether it be the Falcons trying to build a new stadium and looking at ticket prices going up, or looking at the moves that the GM makes in free agency that I don't like, These are things that really, quite frankly, are out of my control. And just like you don't get to tell your girlfriend about her mother or her father, if you don't like them, it's just kind of things that you have to just put up with along the ride because you really love her so much. So I think that's the biggest change in my fandom from then until now. And yeah, man, you are right. I love all the teams all my heart, but I am not shy about dishing out some tough love to any of them who put on that uniform. So it is what it is.
All right, so let's do one quick sort of either-or question as we kind of wrap up the show. Hope you guys tune in. This is the Section 357 show. Check us out, section357.podomatic.com for the replay of this episode. Twitter, at section357. And let us know about some of your highs and lows as a fan. So I'm going to start with you, Trey. Would you trade one Titan Super Bowl or the entire Pat Summit Women's Tennessee basketball era? Would you trade in for one Titan Super Bowl? And that's all you're going to get ever. Just one.
Oh, that's tough. Because I'm one of the few that can proudly say I'm very proud of our women's basketball team and that dominance. I mean, that's, oh my gosh. Yeah. For one Super Bowl. You know what? I'm going to say, you know why I'm going to say no? I'm going to say no because that legacy of winning that was laid down and established by Pat is just undeniable. I mean, that's legendary. Winning one Super Bowl isn't a legendary kind of thing. You know what she did for that program? Absolutely is. And there's also the very good possibility that my Titans can't go back and win a Super Bowl. Probably not for like another decade. but that is more of a possibility than establishing that type of dominance again. So, no, I wouldn't trade it out, man. I'm proud of our girls.
Floyd, before I give you your question, do you believe that Trey really wouldn't turn in? The women's Tennessee basketball dynasty for that one Super Bowl, do you believe them?
This is the interesting thing about being a fan of your teams, but then how you perceive other teams. Because in my head, I'm thinking I would trade that in a heartbeat. I would trade all of Pat Summit's wins, every last title, everything that they ever did for one Super Bowl. I would definitely trade it. But that's me on the outside looking in because I didn't live in Tennessee when that was happening. I don't relate to it in that way. And I think it's a very interesting look about how you relate your sports fandom and where you grew up to where someone relates their sports fandom and how they grew up. So in my mind, I would definitely trade that. But I think it definitely speaks to the importance of what Pat Summit did for Tennessee, for that area, that Trey would not make that trade. So I can respect that.
Floyd, here's your question, and Trey, you got some Georgia connections, so you can chime in at the end. We have five people up for the Atlanta Sports Hall of Fame. You can put three in. Here are your five names. Floyd, who's going in? Dominique Wilkins, Deion Sanders, Hank Aaron, Michael Vick, Evander Holyfield. Which three out of five?
That is very interesting, very tough decision. I think for my own sake, you got to start with Hank Aaron because Hank Aaron has done so much for Atlanta and so much for a lot of people that I don't want to ever not recognize that. So Hank Aaron definitely goes in. Dominique Wilkins has to go in just because I believe he's the most beloved basketball player the Hawks have ever had, probably ever will have, and just that time frame of when he was in the city, it meant so much. And I would even go beyond that. I would say Deion Sanders. I just think that what both of those guys did when they were in Atlanta still means so much to Atlanta. And with all apologies to the champ, I would have to try to get him in on the next go-round. But I would definitely vote for Hank Aaron, Deion Sanders, and Dominique Wilkins.
That's a good list. Man, of course, without a doubt, Hank Aaron goes in as number one. There's just can't even argue that. But my number two, man, is Holyfield, man. I mean, multiple time champion. I mean, and maintained it for a while, and maintained it at an old age. He's the warrior. And then my number three would definitely be Deion Sanders. No disrespect to Dominique Wilkins, because he was the man. There's no denying that either, or Michael Vick. But Vick never won, and Dominique Wilkins didn't either, but Sanders won for another squad. So, you know, I'd have to go with three people that at least prove that they have won on an extremely, extremely high level. That was a good question, man.
And to back that up, I'm not sure if it'll ever be worthy of a 30 for 30, but I know just growing up in Atlanta, that time frame of Atlanta sports history when Dominique Wilkins was playing for the Hawks and Deion was playing for the Falcons / Braves, that was a very interesting moment in time for Atlanta sports culture, both the nightlife, both the on-field accomplishments and everything that goes along with it. One of those underreported eras of sports and shenanigans that you rarely see in your major sports nowadays. So that time frame, late 80s, early 90s of Atlanta sports history, very interesting to say the very least.
And there you have it, folks. This has been a look at our favorite moments from our city. Tell us about the favorite moments from your city. As I said, at Section 357 on Twitter, definitely hit us up. What are some of your highs, some of your lows from your respective city? Last call before Floyd takes us out of here. Trey, any last words for the people? Anything you need to be on the lookout for?
Yeah, man. My last call goes out to the Memphis Grizzlies. You guys didn't make my list only because, A, you're still relatively new. B, you did a damn good job in the 2013 season. Getting as far as we did. I mean, we were close, man. We were so close to actually going to the finals, and we fell a little short this season. We did very well. So proud of the squad, and they're fun to root for. They represent Memphis to the fullest in every aspect of their game and how they love the fans and how the fans love them. So I just don't want to leave them off my list. It just hasn't been the super memorable moments from you guys just yet to make the list, but the way that the franchise is being run, I know it's soon to come, man. Thank you, guys.
My last call goes out to Joakim Noah of my Chicago Bulls. And Joakim Noah is the definition of player who grows on you. And not just his work ethic, his passion, his skill level, but Joakim Noah has also been the most upfront, outspoken athlete on some of the issues in Chicago regarding street crime and violence. And I think we had Craig Hodges on a few podcasts back. You should check that out, talking about athletes and activism. And Joakim Noah, to me, represents a lot of what athletes can do. And not that you have to be Mother Teresa or Martin Luther King and play at the same time, but speaking out, giving your time, and being upfront and honest and speaking on issues. So he definitely become my favorite athlete in Chicago to this day. So I want to give a big shout out to Joakim Noah, not just for what he's done on the court, but being a character, being that person off the floor as well. Floyd, your last shout, and then take us out of here.
Two things, guys. Back to Hank Aaron. We talked about Hank Aaron earlier as someone who was very important to Atlanta sports. And I think very important to modern-day civil rights as we look at sports and in a larger context. There's been a lot of conversation in the past few weeks about sports and racism and just how we get along with each other in sports and in society. And I feel like Hank Aaron is a guy who, while not the most overtly outspoken, up-in-your-face protest kind of athlete, was a guy who did a lot behind the scenes to stand up for athletes and for African-Americans in America. He did a lot of work behind the scenes. So maybe while other athletes were doing some more, more public demonstrations, Hank Aaron was very active behind the scenes on a lot of things here in Atlanta and beyond to really advance the cause of minorities in this country. So I definitely want to recognize Hank Aaron for that. On the flip side, I want to give a shout out to the upcoming Atlanta MLS team. And I mentioned earlier about best sporting moments in Atlanta history. From my perspective, this new MLS team has a chance to rewrite the record books. MLS is a growing sport, so there's a lot of chances to kind of get in there and have some early success. So to all of the upcoming players and owners and fans of this new MLS team, there's a chance for us to be able to bring a championship to Atlanta in that sport. So big shout out to all of the supporters of Atlanta and their new MLS franchise. That being said, good luck to you and all of your sports teams, wherever you might be. This is the Section 357 show, where we always have the best seats in the house. Until next time, take care.
One of the few dogs that pulled through the mic, Vic Fiasco. Yo, my fault, man, my fault. One of the few dogs that pulled through the mic, Vic Fiasco. Heart of a lion with the strength straight out of Glasgow. Paul Janowski, Nola let the guns loose. Everybody smoking cigarettes and jumpsuits. Kosovo to the basement of your building. Terrible dentistry, gold in every filling. Cut them a deal, bet they let you bring them krills in. No English kill man, kitchen knife sealed in. The staircase is where we earn the degree. For lawsuits on the fine flesh, feet in the feet. Light sees a cover skull, eyes are like the ocean blue. Stay fly, rock outfits, that's emotional. Nice shirt, crazy hat, mean jacket. Orange drugs if you reppin' for the team, clap it. Rip the capillaries, big gun, tackleberry. Tell the preacher at the chapel, get the casket ready.